Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I hope everybody's doing all right out there. It's been a little while since I've done a solo episode because I took a little bit of a break over the summer. Just been doing a lot of reflection and healing and a lot of change physically, mentally, spiritually, and with my diet as well. So that's what this episode is going to be about. I've been sharing more about my journey about leaving veganism on Instagram. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is gabloveflow. So I've been sharing more about this over there, and I feel like I'm ready to share about this because I've been pretty quiet about it over the last like 8 or 9 months. I really haven't shared really anything about what I've been doing. And I really wanted to go over like how the last couple years has been for me with my healing journey and leaving veganism. And you guys asked a lot of questions over on Instagram, so I'm gonna answer some of those as well. And I'm gonna kind of walk you through my process of, you know, why I decided to leave veganism, you know, where I was at with my health last year and the year before. It was really, really bad. I mean, my Hashimoto's was the worst it's ever been. My thyroid was the worst it's ever been. Last summer was the worst. I mean, absolute worst. This is when I was living in Miami last year, and it was just torture. I mean, the amount of symptoms that I was living with day in, day out, I just thought I was going to feel like shit for the rest of my life at that point. So this episode has been brewing inside of me. It's been, you know, cooking, and I have a lot of notes, so I'm going to try to be as organized as possible, but I wanted just to share with you guys because you have been asking me, you know, like, you know, what foods did you introduce first, and, you know, why are you not vegan anymore, and how do you feel when you eat meat now, and, you know, how can you eat meat without feeling bad? And all these questions are really, really great questions. And I'm going to start from where I felt in the winter of 2021, winter and spring of 2021. So over a year ago, I was not doing well. My Hashimoto's antibodies were really high. I was dealing with a lot of symptoms. My thyroid was tanked. At this point, I was living at home in Tampa with my mom and her husband. I was really trying to find an endocrinologist who would even like listen to me. And I ended up finding a doctor that would prescribe me LDN, which is low-dose naltrexone. Low-dose naltrexone is for people who have a lot of inflammation. It's commonly prescribed for people with Hashimoto's because it definitely decreases inflammation markers. And the reason why I wanted to go on LDN was because I actually tried to go back on synthetic thyroid medication a little bit before then. So when it was like the spring of 2021, and I gave it a shot again, even though I knew it was going to make me feel like shit. So I tried Synthroid because that's what my doctor, the endocrinologist that I found, basically forced me to do. And then I did that, and I immediately felt a lot worse. So I knew that my body cannot handle synthetic thyroid medication. So I finally found this LDN doctor. I'll link the website in the show notes. It's an online service, and you just pay them to have an over-the-phone or video consultation. So once I started taking the LDN, things started to feel like they were shifting for me. But at this time, I was, you know, still vegan, still plant-based. I was eating a lot of raw vegetables. I mean, my entire diet was raw vegetables, hummus, things with lots of nightshades and lectins and oxalates. And there's nothing wrong with raw vegetables, but for me, I was coming from a place of extreme, extreme digestional issues, SIBO, parasites, obviously the autoimmune symptoms, which manifested in swelling, leg edema, lipedema. I felt like I had lipedema. And this is something that I've been dealing with for a while, but lower body swelling, water retention, extreme pain and joint swelling in my lower body, especially. But really the inflammation and the swelling would be everywhere. It would be in my shoulders, my arms. I felt like I was just holding so much heaviness in my body. And I'm going to get more into that, into those symptoms, because last summer was the worst. So I'm going in chronological order, and I'm going to try to make this episode short and sweet and not too long. So I was not properly medicated with my thyroid, and I wasn't eating for my digestion. Everything I was eating and everything I was doing was actually working against me. So the raw vegetables, the extreme volume of raw salads and lots of garlic and onion and all these vegetables that I thought were healthy, and they are healthy, right? But not for me and my body, because my body was trying to fight an autoimmune condition and thyroid and adrenal fatigue and all of these underlying issues that were only just getting worse because of the way that I was nourishing myself. But how was I supposed to know that? Because the way that we are taught is that eat your vegetables, eat your fiber, eat lots of vegetables, don't eat red meat, don't eat lots of meat, blah, blah, blah. So I was just doing that, and I was eating a lot of carbs because of my vegan diet. And I didn't realize I was eating so many carbs in the form of fruit and veggies and beans and hummus and pumpkin. And I mean, when I think back to how I used to eat, not that this is a bad way of eating, and I guess I'll put a trigger warning here before I get any deeper into this conversation. If you're struggling with an eating disorder and the talk about foods and elimination diets and cutting out foods or how certain kinds of foods may make someone react, I'm going to speak from my personal experience this entire episode. But if that kind of stuff really triggers you and really bothers you, and you, it's not good for you right now to listen to any experiences around food, then maybe this episode isn't for you just yet. Because I'm going to be talking a lot about how these foods made me react and food sensitivities and intolerances and how I felt once I started taking them out. So just a little bit of a trigger warning for anybody who's struggling with an eating disorder, who is, just not in the right frame of mind to think about restricting or eliminating, even though that's not what I'm doing. I actually really feel like I'm honoring my body by not consuming these foods, because these foods were keeping me very, very sick and inflamed and swollen and fatigued. So there's the trigger warning. So as we moved into the summer of 2021, I started to feel even worse. And I also moved to Miami to sublet a room in an apartment. And it was very, very stressful for me going back to Miami and trying to get my life back together, right? So it was a lot of physical and emotional stress that I was going through, and my thyroid was completely, completely fucked. It was the worst it's ever been. I couldn't find a doctor to prescribe me the Armour thyroid, the natural desiccated thyroid that I had been hearing about. And at that time, I was kind of iffy about taking Armour, because it is natural desiccated thyroid from pig glandular. So again, I was still vegan at the time. And I was doing the podcast, and at that time I was interviewing people like Karen Martell and hormone experts, because I was trying to find answers, and I was trying to figure out what to do because I felt like such shit. And I remember when I found Karen Martell's podcast, this was in the summer, like maybe June, July, end of last year, and I was outside by the pool just trying to get some sun and feel better, and my entire body was swollen. So this symptom has been plaguing me for a long, long time now. And so my entire body was swollen. I had gained weight. I don't know how much weight I gained. I don't really weigh myself. I haven't weighed myself in years, but I'm gonna assume I gained 15 pounds. And on my short frame, that's a lot. For me, that's a lot. So I was freaking out. I didn't understand why my digestion was so messed up, bloating, fatigue, full body swelling, inflammation. There were days where I felt like my body was filled with cement, and I never heard anybody say it like that, but it's literally, for me, that's what it felt like, to the point where when I would walk around, like if I was running errands, I would literally feel like there was heavy cement just gudge in my thighs, in my legs, and like it just was so physically uncomfortable. So I thought the way to combat that, which was very wrong, so don't make this mistake, but I would go to the sauna every single day, and I would overdo it in the sauna, and I would stretch in the sauna, and I would just like, I would pretty much just beat the shit out of myself in the sauna for several hours, and I would take breaks, obviously, and drink lots of water, but at that time, I was not consuming any electrolytes. I wasn't consuming the element packets that I love so much. And I was just downing water, and that was depleting my body of all of the potassium, the sodium, the magnesium. And my lab work actually reflected that. It came back saying that I was super dehydrated. My chloride was like super high, apparently, and I think that's because I was using the sauna so much. So I was physically ruining my adrenals by doing the sauna, and this is when I was living in Miami in the summer, so it was already hot. I was pushing my body to the limits by going on these jogs and these long walks, but I would pretty much try to jog just outside in the Miami heat to lose weight and to, you know, feel better in my body and to figure out why, you know, my logic was, if I work out, then I will lose weight and I'll feel better and this swelling and this inflammation won't be as bad anymore. So I was doing everything I could to lose weight, to feel better, to fix my thyroid, but like simultaneously, everything that I was doing was actually making my thyroid levels and my hormone levels and my adrenals worse. But I kept continuing doing what I was doing, obviously. I didn't know any better yet. I wasn't listening to podcasts about how veganism can affect your gut. And it wasn't until I interviewed Karen Martell on my podcast, and then I interviewed a woman about eating disorder recovery, Mindy Pulitzer, and Karen Martell basically told me that I needed to try to take Armour, natural desiccated thyroid. And I kept hearing about it, and Dr. Amy Horniman, I was listening to her podcast as well, and I was learning a lot from her podcast and Elle Russ, and, you know, funny enough, I was listening to these podcasts while I was in the sauna or working out, you know. So while I was literally ruining my body, I was listening to these podcasts about healing the thyroid and thyroid medications. And eventually, I think just listening to those podcasts enough got through to me, and like eventually it kind of just clicked. And I was like, well, what I'm doing right now isn't working, and I need to be on medication because I need to know if it's going to help me feel better. And I need to know if Armour is going to help me feel like a human again. I mean, I felt like such shit, and I could barely even teach yoga sometimes. There were days where I couldn't even teach, and I had to call out and get a sub. And that's because of the fatigue and the swelling and the pain and the joint, you know. It's just, it was impossible for me to function. So once October came around, I remember I had the worst period of my life. TMI, I don't, you know, sorry if this is too much information. If you're a guy listening, whatever, I'm not gonna really get deep into it, but it was the worst cycle I've ever had. And this was almost a year ago now. And I just remember, I was like, I cannot live like this anymore. I need to find somebody who will prescribe me armor. So I found a friend of mine who is a nurse practitioner, and she actually wrote me a prescription for it. And then I found my endocrinologist, who I had been seeing for a while. I made an appointment with her again, and I told her how crappy I felt and how I was not willing to be on synthetics anymore, and that I just wanted to try armor. So she agreed, but that endocrinologist kept me sick because she kept me under medicated for so long. So I started armor after that really, really bad menstrual cycle. I remember I was in California when that happened, the menstrual cycle, and I was in so much pain. My stomach had never been in so much pain and bloating and gas before. And the swelling, the full body swelling was just insane at that point. And I remember I was wearing my jeans, and they were super, super tight. And these jeans are actually like my loose pair of jeans that usually like fits very loose and like comfortable. And these jeans were tight. And I said, I can't live like this anymore. Everything I'm doing is not working, and I need to assess, and I need to try this armor. And that's pretty much when I, you know, when my mind shifted from being vegan, and I said, you know what? Okay, I'm still vegan, I'm still plant-based, but I'm going to allow myself to take this armor thyroid, which is derived from pig glandular, because I've heard it helps people, and I just bit the bullet, and I did it. So I took armor at, you know, increased the dose on my own every, you know, few weeks. And I did interview Dr. Amy Horniman on the podcast when I was on the armor, and she offered some really solid advice. The armor did not really help me feel better. I think initially it made me feel a little bit better, but then it just kind of went away and my hair started falling out like crazy. And I have read that armor has that side effect of extreme hair loss and shedding. And for me, it was like instant. You know, when I look at pictures of myself back before I started taking the armor, my hair was nice and long and thick. But I also think that being vegan definitely caused my skin and my hair to react. I had really bad acne. I was dealing with really, really, really bad acne. And since, you know, not being vegan anymore, my skin has cleared up a lot. So I will get into that. But after 6 months of being on armor, I decided it just wasn't working anymore. And I started talking to my friend Alex, who I'm going to actually have on the podcast. And she's a follower of mine, and she DM'd me, and we started talking about thyroid, and then we got each other's numbers, and we've been, you know, talking about thyroid with each other and helping each other. And she's the one who told me to try Natrathroid, because that's the only medication that helped her. And she also started telling me that when she was vegan, that's when she felt the worst. So again, I just kept having these people come into my life and offer their wisdom and tell me that veganism can really wreak havoc on your body. So as this kept continuing to happen, and listening to podcasts about how important eating meat is and how detrimental it is to consume large quantities, especially of raw vegetables, I mean, what the fuck? So now it's December of 2021, so you know, last winter, and I decided that I needed to get a dietitian / life coach. And I remember I found this woman on my birthday. I was in the sauna, of all places, right? Because I could not stop using the sauna, because I thought that that was going to help me miraculously. And it did give me some sense of relief physically, but it never lasted because it was down the road detrimenting my adrenals and my thyroid and my hormones, and my body was always in like a fight or flight shock survival mode. I mean, everything I was doing was making my body freak out and really just think it was under attack, which it was. The sauna, the running, the stress, the figuring out where I'm gonna live, the teaching yoga, the, you know, I mean, it was just nonstop, never ending drama in my body. And of course my body was gonna be inflamed and fat and swollen and, you know, in pain. As many of you guys know, I've been openly sharing my healing journey with PCOS and hypothalamic amenorrhea and hormonal imbalance. That's why I'm super excited to be partnering up with Ovacetol. Thousands of women swear by Ovacetol, and it's for a good reason. Ovacetol is a highly researched blend of inositols, and it's by Theralogics. It's designed to promote healthy hormonal health and support regular menstrual cycles, ovarian health, and fertility. I have been using Ovacetol. It's a powder that you put in juice or water. It doesn't taste like anything, and you take it twice a day, and it is supposed to help regulate my cycles, hopefully bring back my menstrual cycle, and just help with hormonal imbalance in general, especially with folks who are struggling with PCOS. Your estrogen could be tanked, your testosterone could be skyrocketed, and it's really hard to get through day-to-day chores and just function with those hormonal levels being so crazy and out of whack. Ovacetol is gluten-free, vegan, and it's the only independently tested and certified inositol supplement available. Did you know that Theralogics offers several other evidence-based, independently certified nutritional supplements for women's health? They have so many supplements on their website. It's really awesome. And this company is high-grade supplements. I made a choice last year that I'm only going to start taking really high-grade, potent, tested supplements instead of all the junk that I was buying from like Amazon and Walmart. So that is one of my goals this year, is to really stay taking high quality vitamins and supplements. I am trying a few supplements from the Theralogics site. I'm doing an Omega, I have a CBD supplement, I'm doing a women's multivitamin that helps with menstrual cramps and PMS, and it has iron in it. So there's supplements for literally everyone on this website. It's amazing. So whether you are aiming for a healthier lifestyle or you're ready to start a family, Theralogics has a wide range of products for you. So go to Theralogics.com, that's Theralogix.com, and you can use the provider referral code 233136 at checkout, and that will save you up to 20% off of your purchase on Ovacetol or any other supplements on the website that support your overall health. So go ahead to Theralogix.com, and you can use the provider code 233136 at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. And when I say the word fat, I know that I'm not fat, but for me, my body was not at a weight that felt like it was supposed to be. I felt very, very uncomfortable. And now that I'm looking back at that, I know that that was because my body was reacting so harshly to how I was eating and what I was doing. So again, everything I was consuming and everything that I was doing was actually causing harm to my immune system and only exacerbating the Hashimoto's, the thyroid, the adrenal fatigue, and everything else, the digestion. I remember I was starting to do ice baths every day a couple times a day. At that point, I was just leaving the ice in the bathtub with the cold water, and I would just leave it there because I was hopping in there a few times a day because of how swollen and inflamed and how much pain I was in my lower body. So, you know, the ice baths, they were helping a little bit, but at that time, I was also connecting with my friend Leonella, who has a practice in Miami, and I was, you know, she was telling me that I needed to stop, you know, all the stress, and I think she also told me that being vegan isn't helpful, but I kept doing what I was doing, and then eventually I did hire the dietitian life coach, and to be honest, it was not the best experience because they said that they had experience working with people with eating disorders and metabolism and thyroid and hormones. But the way that they kind of told me to eat was not helping me. At this time, I was really starting to learn about the keto diet and low carb and how it can help with autoimmune. Dr. Amy Horniman is very, very, you know, she's a big believer and big researcher in the keto diet and like paleo. So I was doing a lot of research on this. I was listening to podcasts about keto, and I realized that I was gonna try to take down the carbs. So I did that, and I immediately felt better. And my dietitian slash life coach kept telling me that I needed to eat carbs because my body needed them. And she was not listening to what I was saying, how I felt better without the carbs, how I instantly felt this relief. I lost, you know, a few pounds, what it felt like, of swelling and water retention, because that's very normal when you go keto. So I started just telling her, like, look, I'm gonna increase my fat and my protein, but I'm not gonna do the carbs. So at this point, I was like, okay, so what's making me react like this, you know? So I took a food sensitivities test, and lo and behold, pretty much everything that I was consuming on a regular basis came up as highly reactive on that. So mushrooms, I was eating packs of raw mushrooms a day because I thought that that was a very low calorie, low carb, healthy vegetable, and I was just eating them raw every day with like various vegan dips, you know. So that came up reactive. Soy, garlic, onions, eggplant, yeast, gluten, dairy, so many different things came up on that food sensitivities test, and it just was kind of like an aha moment for me, and I was like, okay, so I guess I'm gonna start eliminating these things, even though I really like these foods. And it was kind of like a mind fuck because I had to really say, okay, well, what foods can I have? I need to take out all of these foods that were making me react, the high quantities of pumpkin and carrots and mushrooms and raw zucchini and all these things. I basically realized that I had oxalate poisoning, and that's something that Mindy Pulitzer actually asked me about back in the summer. She said, have you looked into oxalates, and maybe that's what you're dealing with? And I didn't even know what that was at the time. She had just brought it to my awareness. And everything that I was eating was high oxalates: almonds, seeds, spinach, almond milk, almond cream cheese, almond flour, almond this, almond that. A really good resource to learn about oxalates and how they poison your body is Sally Norton, I believe her name is. Sally Norton, and she's an expert in the field of oxalates. And she's been on several podcasts and YouTube channels. So once I started to eliminate those oxalate foods, which are pretty much all plants and seeds and nuts, and I was eating a lot of those things, I started to immediately feel better. My bloating started to go away, and I started to realize, wow, the less carb the less carbs I eat, the more keto I go, the better I feel. So I started to go on Reddit and go into all these keto subreddits, keto for beginners, vegan keto, vegetarian keto, because at this time I was not consuming meat yet. It was December and January that I really went keto, or at least I tried. But being vegan keto is really, really hard, especially for me, because I couldn't have soy because that came up on the food sensitivities test. Nuts and seeds I didn't want to eat, you know. All these things that vegan keto people survive on, like, you know, the protein stuff that they survive on, like pea protein, that also came up on my food sensitivities test. So I couldn't have peas, green peas, green beans, and a lot of the protein powders that I was consuming have pea protein in them. So again, it was just one thing after the next. I started to realize that, wow, everything I'm consuming is actually keeping me, you know, swollen and inflamed. So I remember I went through my cupboards and my pantry one day, and I just started taking everything out and looking at the ingredients and realizing that everything either had pea protein, wheatgrass, barley grass, and all these things, again, came up on the Everly sensitivities test. So I was pissed. I was really fucking pissed, because at that point I was like, okay, so what the fuck am I supposed to eat then? If everything I'm eating is making me react, what can I eat? And that is when my mental paradigm of food and wellness and what I was putting in my body really shifted. And I said, do I want to feel better, or do I want to keep eating these foods that I think are healthy, that, you know, that I'm just so used to eating? So I had to really be honest with myself. So I got rid of all those protein powders and stopped using them. And I, you know, started getting all these people in the keto subreddit telling me, look, it just sounds like you need to start eating meat. You know, like, if being vegan keto isn't possible for you, then you don't really have a choice and you should start eating meat, because I think that's going to make you feel better. So once you get like 50 people telling you this in the course of a week, you know, because I kept posting and commenting and asking questions, and just, if every single person is going to tell me this, and in my daily life as well, hearing it on podcasts and people talking to me about how it sounds like, you know, veganism isn't helping you, you know. And at that time, I kept looking in the mirror and saying, wow, I'm my heaviest weight, my skin is looking terrible, I'm miserable, I'm depressed, I'm swollen, I feel horrible, you know. So I continued to stay low carb, and then once January came around, I started getting this like inner nudge of my intuition was telling me to start eating fish and just seeing if that would start helping me feel better. So I started eating fish again. I started with salmon. And this is a question that some of you guys asked me over on Instagram. How did I start introducing foods? So I'll start by expressing that everybody's different, and some people can just go right into like beef, eggs, and cheese and butter, like steak and butter gal on YouTube, and have no issues. But I wasn't gonna do that because I was still very in my veganism and afraid of eating, and honestly really grossed out. And I told myself I would never eat cow, I would never eat beef, I would never eat any of those things. And I'm still kind of in that mentality as far as pork and chicken go, but I'm actually thinking about adding beef in very, very soon. So my process, I added in salmon first, and I didn't even really know like how to cook salmon or whatever, so I got canned salmon, started with that, put it on some salads. Immediately I felt a shift in my body. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating, I really did feel a sense of relief because I was getting protein. I was getting pure protein. And I remember every night I would make my salad with my salmon, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I was still eating carbs in the form of vegetables, and I wasn't that low carb. But I started to feel better because I didn't feel the need to eat these like hummuses or like the vegan protein stuff that was causing inflammation. So I really got into the salmon. And then John, the Keto Road, he came on my podcast and started talking about sardines and how they're really good. And he planted the seed of, you know, how sardines are really tasty. And I said, okay, you know, I'm going to try sardines. So I did, and I loved them. So I slowly started adding these foods, tuna, and then I eventually got like frozen salmon fillet and cooked it. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I remember that night when I cooked that salmon fillet, like on the stove, that felt different. It felt different than how the canned salmon felt, because I was literally like eating a piece of pure protein meat. So I started to feel better. I started to feel my inflammation go down. I started to feel a shift in my body, and it wasn't crazy dramatic. It's not like it all went away. But I think it was a combination of removing the oxalates and the lectins and those plant foods and the seeds and the nuts, and, you know, slowly tapering that down, and then, you know, adding that protein. And I remember I kind of weaned myself off of the mushrooms, as insane as that sounds. I was addicted to eating raw mushrooms. I thought that, you know, I was actually addicted to eating them. Like, I, maybe it's just like the habit, the quantity that I was eating, the, you know, dipping them in these vegan dips that were also keeping me very bloated. But I remember when I actually made the choice, okay, I'm done with mushrooms. I'm going to figure out other vegetables to eat. So I did. So this was in January that I started doing that. So then the winter starts to come, and I start feeling a little bit better each week, to be honest, you know. I was feeling less swollen. I was not feeling as bad. I started feeling like, oh wow, I think I lost like 5 pounds just from like going keto. And again, that's very normal and natural when you go keto. It's usually water weight. In February, I started introducing the electrolytes, because I definitely got the keto flu, and I started learning about that and how magnesium, potassium, and sodium is very, very important when you are keto. So I'm glad that I started using that, and I started using LMNT packets. And I actually have a discount link for that if you're interested. I'll put that in the show notes. But I drink one of these every single day, and I just put it in my big jug of water and I sip it through the day. It has everything you need, the potassium, sodium, and magnesium, and it's a game changer. I mean, instantly I felt my swelling go down. And it's really interesting, because a lot of people were telling me, increase your salt, because if you're really low on salt and you're sweating in the sauna, and you're, you know, which I was still using the sauna, so I was completely depleted of my sodium and electrolytes. And when you're depleted of your sodium and your electrolytes, your body is going to try to hold on to every drop of water it possibly can in your body. It's not going to release anything. So when I started increasing my salt, salting my food, salting my salads with the salmon, and then using the LMNT packets, it really made a huge difference. And it was dramatic. I was like, holy shit, they were right. Like, increasing my salt is actually signaling to my body that it doesn't have to hold on for dear life to every morsel of water, because it feels safe enough to like circulate it through. So that was a huge game changer for me. And I just kept feeling like my stomach was getting flatter. My bloating went away. I was starting to see my abs come through a little bit more. Then I had to move again because I was subletting another apartment in Miami, and my friend was moving back in. So I had to move at the end of March, and then we had a death in the family, like right after that. I'm not even kidding, like the day after. So me and my mom moved everything back to, I moved back to Tampa because I couldn't find an apartment in Miami. I couldn't find an apartment with the way that things were going with the housing market and inflation, and that was very, very stressful on my body as well. So I moved back home, and the next day we found out that my aunt just tragically died. So it was a lot of emotional and physical stress with moving back home and then the death and then going up north for a week, and it was just the most challenging couple months of my life, I think, because I felt like my world was just caving in. Because I finally got my life back situated in Miami and teaching yoga, Equinox, and my classes were packed and everything was going great, but then I couldn't find an apartment. So it was almost like, you know, my life was just kind of like, things were ending, you know? I just felt like, well, my life is fucked. But I think everything happens for a reason, and I think I'm supposed to be here for a reason, because my healing, my physical healing, my thyroid stuff, my Hashimoto's stuff actually has gotten a lot better since I haven't been in Miami and since I've been living at home. And I think part of that is because I haven't been using the sauna like I used to. I do have a TheraSage sauna at home sauna. It's outside. On my porch, but I don't use it every day. I use it maybe once a week, maybe. And I think my body just really needed a chance to rest and heal. So March and April, I was eating fish, using collagen powders. And what's funny is, wow, I didn't really put this together, but when I was up north for my aunt's funeral, we stayed at my uncle's house, and my aunt had like a huge cupboard full of like teas and herbs and supplements and powders. And she had an entire box of Vital Proteins, regular collagen powder from beef. And something nudged me. Maybe it was my aunt's presence and her spirit, but I heard my intuition say, just start using those. You know, they're here. You're going to be here for a week. So I started putting one of those in my matcha every day, and I started to feel a difference. And I know that this sounds crazy, but I started to feel a difference in my body and my swelling that week when I was in New Jersey for the funeral. And the only thing that I changed was I added that collagen. I was intermittent fasting at that time too. I started intermittent fasting, and that helped a lot. And my swelling and my inflammation and my bloating and my digestion all got better. So again, these shifts, the seafood and the collagen, really helped a lot. And I was being consistent with the electrolytes every day too. April and May came around, and that is when I started not taking the Armour thyroid anymore. And Alex, my friend, sent me some of her extra Naturethroid, and I started to take that, and I started to immediately feel better. Again, it takes a lot of trial and error with healing thyroid. And then, I continued to eat fish. I continued to use the collagen powders. I got stocked up with Vital Proteins collagen powders, and you know, the fact that I started to consume these, I think, was really helping not only my digestion, but just my overall health, my hair, my skin, my nails. At this time, I started to intermittent fast a little bit more and deeper and longer, and that helped a lot as well. Then I started to, oh, and the only cardio that I was doing at this point was doing walks. I wasn't running, I wasn't using the sauna, I wasn't jogging, I wasn't doing any of that. I wasn't doing power yoga, I wasn't teaching yoga, I was just walking. So then I got a pet sitting gig in Miami in June and July for 5 weeks, and I started to work on my keto stuff a little bit more. I started taking things out, I learned about polyphenols. from the ADP Project podcast, and I started to realize that all of the, you know, even like some of the foods that I was still consuming, like carrots and pumpkin, like I was still dabbling in some of those things, and I said to myself, you know what, I'm really going to lower this down to the vegetables that have the lowest oxalates and lectins. So I lowered it all down, and I was down to all sorts of lettuce and greens and leafy greens, cucumbers, celery, avocados, olives, and then I was still consuming, and I still am consuming, some vegan products like coconut milk, coconut yogurt that's unsweetened, nutritional yeast, and then all the fish. So my diet right now is kind of an elimination diet, and it's a paleo keto elimination kind of diet. And I've been learning more now about the ketovore and carnivore diets from people like Dr. Ken Berry and his wife, Nisha Berry, who both have YouTube channels, and they've been on like tons of podcasts. Well, Dr. Berry has. I was learning about keto and fasting from people like Mindy Peltz, and the Keto Camp podcast. And I just started to really recognize that the less vegetables I ate, the better I felt. And this meant that I needed to start increasing my animal products. So I started adding in egg whites, hard-boiled eggs, egg life wraps, still not doing dairy, still not doing that. But again, I started doing bone broth powders, and I felt really good with the bone broth powders. It really helped my digestion. So when I was in Miami in June and July, I really did like a huge, like, I feel like I really up-leveled my healing. I got a lot of sun. I did a lot of walking. I didn't use the sauna too much. And I just really focused on like healing with the polyphenols and fasting and like really focusing on health and protein and fish and being low carb. And those things really helped. I decided to stop drinking decaf coffee. I took out caffeine a while ago, but I started to stop with the matcha and the decaf because I started to feel like it was giving me a reaction, like cortisol spike, insulin spike, which it definitely was, because once I stopped consuming the decaf coffee and the matcha, I instantly felt better. And I heard that from somebody in the carnivore keto space who said even decaf coffee can make somebody react because of the mold and the chemicals, and lo and behold, it was. So any kind of caffeine, even the decaf, was making me react. So I started to just shift to total herbal teas and herbal powders. So I've been using the Anima Mundi herbal coffee powder. It's called the Happiness Powder. I'll put a discount code for that in the show notes. I think it's GAB10. And then all of my Ticino teas and just all the herbal teas that are really tasty. I have a discount code for that too. It's GABLOVEFLOW. And while I was in Miami over the summer, I did the Zuma Parasite Detox, and this is when I started to feel a huge, huge up level. And so it was, you know, I was eating the fish, I was using the bone broth powders, I was using the collagen powders, so I was keto with those meat, you know, sources. And the Parasite Detox immediately made me feel like I had, you know, released something. I mean, literally. So I started taking that, and that was the first round, and I just actually ended my second round of it. So I've done two full bottles of the Parasite Detox, and there's actually like over 180 to 200 people right now who are all doing the Zuma Parasite Detox, because I posted a lot of reels on Instagram, and so we're all kind of doing it together, and there's over 200 people now doing the Zuma parasite detox. And if you're one of those people, feel free to DM me your success story, how you're feeling, and I'm going to start sharing those success stories because, it's been a game changer for me because I definitely had and have parasites. And this tincture, the parasite detox tincture, has polyphenols in it and very, very strong, powerful herbs that help clear out those parasites. And if you're living with parasites and you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to fix your thyroid or your autoimmune conditions, you can't really do that if you have parasites that are wreaking havoc in your body. And I didn't realize that until I really started to get serious with the Zuma detox cleanse. And if you go over to the ZumaNutrition.com, you can use code GAB15 on any products there. Right now I'm doing the Candida cleanse. So the order that I did, that I'm doing them is I did two of the parasite detoxes back to back. So that's two bottles. And now I'm doing the Candida cleanse, and my stomach is flat. My digestion is so much better. I'm not getting bloated after I'm eating. I mean, I used to get so bloated after eating anything and everything. It would look like I was pregnant. So now we are in, we're moving into the fall. So it's been quite some time now that I have been eating fish and protein and collagen powders, and I'm starting to get ready to add beef in, ground beef, because that's very easy on the digestion. And one of the questions that you guys asked is, how do you feel not bad and like mentally able to eat the meat if you had such a meat aversion before? And for me, after listening to so many podcasts about the science, about how the body works, about ancestral diets, about gut health, about how the body reacts to lectins and oxalates and all these things, it just started to click for me. And I had to really be honest with myself, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And that was what I was doing for several years. The sauna, the working out, the being vegan, the raw, the this, the that, the big salads, wondering why my stomach was so distended and why I was in so much pain. So what I was doing wasn't working, and I was so sick and tired of feeling like shit. And that's what Michaela Peterson talks about a lot too. I mean, she was just so tired of feeling like shit. That's why she went on the Lion diet, which is just beef, salt, and water. I mean, I'm not doing that. I don't have to be that extreme, for me, but I had to really take inventory of what's working and what's not. And is it worth it? You know, if I can't function, if I can't live my life, if I can't teach yoga, if I can't get out of bed in the morning, then what is that? That's not giving me a life that I want to live. And if that means that I need to shift out of veganism, then so be it. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of haters and people who don't understand it. But to be honest, when I posted that Reels on my Instagram a few days ago, I got a really awesome response. So many of you guys had, shared your experience on that Reels and said, yeah, I was vegan for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it was. And then I started to feel immediately better once I stopped being vegan and started adding meat. And it's like all of these testimonials. I mean, it's not just in our heads. Some people aren't meant to be vegan. Maybe there are some people who are meant to be vegan and they feel great. I'm not one of those people. And I gave it a shot, and I was vegan for over 7 years, and vegetarian for even longer. So at the end of the day, I had to just be honest with myself and say, what's more important, my health, my well-being, my life, my purpose, or is it being vegan? And for me, my veganism was never, it was more of like a kind of like grossed out that I was eating an animal. Like, it wasn't about eating animals, because I know that that's actually a normal process of evolution. So if I'm out with somebody and I was vegan, I didn't care if they were eating meat, because I know that that's normal. For me, I was just doing it because I thought that's what was going to be healthy for my body, because I was trying to feel my best. But even to this day, I don't think I'm going to ever eat pork, because I just really am not. I just don't think I will. And maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe that will change. I don't think I'll eat chicken. I'm not a big fan of that. I have eaten it, obviously, in my childhood. But I'm going to start eating things like beef, ground beef, beef jerky. I'm going to try those carnivore crisps. I'm going to just be very simple and basic and get like frozen all beef patties and just start small. I have a air fryer here at my mom's, so that will help. I just want to share, like, my health issues have all been getting way better and less intense as I started adding in things. I'm now eating full eggs, not just egg whites. I'm eating the yolks. I'm going to try some grass-fed butter soon. I'm doing what I can, and I'm feeling good. I eat sardines and salmon all the time, every single day. And I'm enjoying how I'm feeling in my body, because I feel this release of inflammation and weight and pain. You know, my joints aren't as swollen, my legs aren't swollen like they used to be. I just feel better in my clothes and in my body. And if you listen to people like Amber O'Hearn, she talks about how the keto diet and carnivore in particular can help with bipolar and depression. And I definitely have depression and anxiety, and I've noticed that I'm more calm, and I'm able to cope a little bit better with a more clear head since going really low carb and eliminating all those vegetables except for the ones that I listed a little bit ago, like the leafy greens and the olives and cucumbers and avocados. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be making this episode if everything that I was doing wasn't working. I want to share this with you guys, because if you are, you know, thinking about leaving veganism, or you're just thinking about going keto, or you're just trying to figure out why you feel like shit, I wanted to share, you know, my evolution over the last year or so, because I've come a long way, and I'm ready to talk about it, and I'm ready to share more about it on Instagram, and hopefully talk with more people in the carnivore community about mental health and healing inflammation and autoimmune issues. If you also have Hashimoto's or thyroid issues, you could follow Nisha, Dr. Ken Berry's wife, on YouTube. Those are two really great resources. Dr. Anthony Chaffee is another great resource, Steak and Butter Gal on YouTube. Kelly Hogan is a good resource. Edie Fox is a great resource, the Black Carnivore. So there's a lot of carnivore people, and you don't, you know, have to just go full carnivore. I'm not going full carnivore. I'm still gonna eat my veg. I'm still gonna have those, you know, vegan things that I still eat, but I'm going to be increasing my meat, and I'm gonna see how I feel, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna start feeling better and better and better as I start increasing my meat. Oh, another one that you can follow is X Plant Eater. She's great. She's I'm actually gonna do, I think, a live with her or something. Just we have to change this dogmatic way of learning about food and nutrition. Nutrition by Judy Cho, another great resource. She has a podcast, Nutrition with Judy, and she has recovered from an eating disorder. So she actually talks a lot about eating disorder recovery, sugar addiction, food addiction, binging, carnivore, and how it can help you, keto. So yeah, these are all the things that I've been listening to, and I'm happy that I'm finally starting to see things clearly for my health, my body. So I hope this helped, and If you guys want to connect with me on Instagram, gablovflow, feel free to DM me. And I hope you guys are doing well and you can start feeling better on your healing journey. All right, thanks for listening, and we will connect soon.
She said it's okay. I got some wilderness skills beneath my belt. She said she used to be a part of a scout team. They nearly meet a leader one time. They didn't have enough thread to sew the patches on. You know how you heard about that family that burned down in that house? Well, that was her.